This morning, before I read the scripture, I'd like us all to join in a statement of faith that will kind of go with us through this series and kind of help emphasize what this series is all about and help us to focus on these themes. And so if you, you can remain seated, but if you would say this statement with me. We have come together to gather around the God of possibilities, the God who created all things and all people and called them good, the God who sent the Son to teach us about God's kingdom of abundance and radical risk-taking, the God who calls us not to be afraid, but to trust the Spirit to lead us forward. We have gathered to sing praise to the God of possibilities, to learn from and be transformed by the Word, and to break bread together, so that we might learn to scatter the seeds no matter where they land. This morning, our gospel lesson comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Jesus began to teach beside the lake again. Such a large crowd gathered that he climbed into a boat there on the lake. He sat in the boat while the crowd was all around him when he was near the shore. He said many things to them in parables while teaching them, and he said, "Listen to this. A farmer went out to scatter seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where the soil was shallow. They sprouted immediately because the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it scorched the plants, and they dried up because they had no roots. Other seed fell among the thorny plants. The thorny plants grew and choked the seeds, and they produced nothing. Other seed fell into good soil and bore fruit. Upon growing and increasing, the seed produced in one case a yield of 30 to 1, in another case a yield of 60 to 1, and in another case a yield of 100 to 1. He said, "Whoever has ears to hear should listen and pay attention." Let us pray. O Lord, my God, my rock and my redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. When you look at our social media, you'll see these three words: gather, grow, love. We started this series last week called Gather Around. In Hebrews, Paul was making use of the metaphor of a race and how people gather to cheer on the racers, to encourage them to keep going and encourage us because Jesus ran this race long before we did, long before we ever thought of it. And so we can follow in his footsteps, follow in hope and in faith, and we can lead those who come behind us and then cheer for them. Today we meet Jesus on the shore where people are gathered all around him to listen to him teach. In the rest of this sermon series, we're going to hear stories, also called parables, about this God of possibilities. And we're going to begin to dream big dreams about what possibilities God might be unfolding for us at the gathering at Scott Memorial. I live at the end of a dead-end street. Behind my house is some property owned by the city where I walk my dogs for their potty breaks. It's a pretty big field with some wonderful old trees that cast a lot of shade. And at the edge of the property, there are overgrown vine systems taking over the trees on the shore of Steamboat Creek off of the Elizabeth River. You almost can't see the water through the trees, especially in the summertime. Every few weeks or so, the city sends people to come and cut the field, and in between the field, when the field gets cut, straight out of the ground, growing towards the sky, there are these wild, crazy little vines growing straight up, and they grow so fast. They get cut down, and there's just a few weeks later, they're 3 feet tall again. They're determined little vines. But in the winter, they stop growing, they turn brown and die, and it seems they don't come back to life in the spring, but new plants grow in their place. It's summertime, And that means it's time to grow. Have you ever wondered why these colors up here change? Have you ever wondered why these liturgical cloths go from green to purple to white to red? These liturgical colors are green right now because it's summertime and it's time to grow. In church lingo, the green stands for ordinary time, but ordinary isn't usually a word that we want to use to describe anything that we're excited about. I went to see an ordinary movie last weekend. I have ordinary friends. I make an ordinary dinner every night, or I pick up ordinary Chinese food. I'm an ordinary pastor of an ordinary church. Is that how you want to describe your life? No way. No way is that the way that we want to describe our lives. And none of it is true except that maybe sometimes my dinners are a little bit ordinary. We want to see exciting, inspirational, or funny movies. We want devoted, faithful, and trustworthy friends. We want healthy, delicious, flavorful meals. And if we're going to spend money on takeout, we want it to really hit the spot. We want it to be better than what we could make at home. And when we take time to get up on a Sunday morning, to get out of our jammies, to drive all the way here, we want to hear a sermon that teaches us something about God and God's word, and we want to sing music that awakens our faith and gives glory to God. And we want to be a part of a community that loves each other, builds each other up, and serves the community. This is no ordinary church, and we do not worship an ordinary God. So why do we use this language of ordinary time? Because for the church, what should be ordinary is that disciples are growing and being transformed by their relationship with God, the God of possibilities, as we seek to make sure that the world knows God's kingdom is better than whatever is going on in this crazy, divisive, messed up world. Today, we're reading from the first parable Jesus teaches, and he says, listen up, this is important, this is the key to the kingdom. Working preacher author Amy Lee writes, Jesus relates three parables about seeds of all things. The parable of the four soils, which we just heard, the parable of the seed growing, and the parable of the mustard seed. We'll talk about the mustard seed later in this series. But Jesus' chosen metaphor for God's reign is a tiny, itty-bitty little seed. Why compare God's kingdom to a displaceable seed that birds consume, the sun scorches, and thorns choke out and suppress? A seed is ostensibly frail, but given a little water, it has the power to crack open the hard ground, displace stones, and fill an empty space with lush, fragrant life. Though it is tiny, it contains the entire genetic package to produce a magnificent organism. The force of life in a single seed is immeasurable, though hidden. Its growth is painstakingly slow, barely perceptible, yet sure enough, in the soil that's good, it grows. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain of the ear. Its life is irrepressible. Then, one day, it finally unveils its true beauty and glory. Why would the sower be so careless and wasteful? Maybe the sower is optimistic. Why would the sower throw it in the path and throw it in the rocks and throw it in the thorns? Why would the sower do that? Maybe the sower is optimistic instead of careless and wasteful. Maybe it's not about the seed or the soil. Maybe it's about the sower. Jesus explains some inevitable things about this choice. Birds are going to eat some of the seeds on the path because the birds have to eat too, right? When the seed falls on the rocky ground, the roots might not be able to grow deep enough to take root and soak up the water that it needs to survive. So when the sun gets hot, the little plant will wither. And some of the seed fell among the wild thorny vines that were there, that were just more determined to grow than the little seed could be. But for the seeds that do grow, the ones in the good soil, the ones that landed in the less than ideal conditions, but still might the ground be turned up, still might they find a little place to nest in and grow, they'll multiply by 30 or 60 or even 100-fold. They'll spread beyond what is ever imaginable. A normal crop yield would only be between 4 and 10-fold, 1 to 4, 1 to 10. But the passage says that this seed can grow to 30, 60, or even 100. Well, Montgomery said, 30 is enough to retire happily on a house on the Sea of Galilee. 60 to 100 is beyond abundance. The kingdom of God is like Jesus sitting on a boat next to a shore, throwing seeds to men, women, and children, to Jews and Gentiles, to anyone who will listen and hear that God knows not every seed will grow. Or maybe it won't grow right now. Maybe it'll grow later when the time is right. But God isn't stingy with the seeds, because God knows that multiplication happens when the seeds grow and bear fruit. God wants the kingdom of God to grow there and there and there, in the path and on the rocks and in the thorns. Our job isn't to figure out what kind of soil we are and to try and till ourselves and make the path a little more soft and pick out all the rocks and grab some gloves and pull away the thorny plants. No, the soil has no choice in what kind of soil it is. We aren't the soil. Have you ever seen an old path that's not used anymore? What happens to it? Nature takes over. Growth happens. Maybe the path wasn't used for years and years. When the friction of the people's footsteps or the car's tires stop, the grass grows over it again, over sidewalks and streets. Everything will grow again. Have you ever seen a crack in a sidewalk with a little flower growing in it? I watched those crazy wild vines grow in the property behind my house. I watched them look for a place to grab hold and look for the trees. Even the trees that are covered in vines, they're still growing. They grow anyway. Nothing will stop them. On Wednesdays, volunteers from our church and our community pack up boxes and bags of food, bags that occupy the seats where you sit. This Wednesday, one of our volunteers who has had some health issues dropped by, and he can't volunteer right now, but he just wanted to see everyone. He wanted to come to a place where he knew he'd be welcomed and loved and cared for, where someone would be happy to see him. He wanted to come and see his friends loving their neighbors. Later on, another team comes along behind those people and loads each one of those bags and boxes into cars for one or two or three families, and each one receives food that blesses and nourishes their neighbors and their friends and their children and their parents. Last week, I had the privilege to welcome our guests and to ask them if they had any special needs or dietary considerations or celebrations, because sometimes we have cake to give away. One man shared that he became a grandpa that day. It was his first grandchild, and he was so excited to share this good news with us. What a privilege it is to share in the joys of people's lives. And then every so often, people see that we're happy for them and that we're happy to serve with them. And someone finds our church because of it. Someone sees the light of Christ beaming from this place, from these people, and decides this is where they want to grow. So each and every week we bear the fruit of goodness, of kindness, of joy and peace without worrying whether or not they deserve it, whether or not it'll grow. And we might never see them grow, but I believe they're out there experiencing the kingdom of God 30 and 60 and 100 fold. We're not the soil, and we're not the sower. God is. Our job is not to worry about where the seeds land. The seed is the word of God. Our job is to grow and bear fruit, to grow and watch that seed, that fruit multiply 30 or 60 or 100 fold. But it doesn't just happen out there on Fresh Food Wednesday. We're gathered here in this beautiful place, and it feels full and healthy with just 60 or so people in the pews. Imagine us growing. Imagine our roots sinking deep into the soil. Imagine us knowing God and each other even deeper than we already do. Imagine us bearing fruit, even more fruit, 30 and 60 and 100 fold each. Not per congregation, each individual person growing. Imagine other people wanting to not just help out on Wednesdays to make sure that people are fed, but imagine them wanting to know you, to grow deeper, to know God better, to be a part of a community that knows each other and loves each other and takes care of each other. Imagine how full and healthy it would be if we needed two or three services on Sunday or a different day of the week. Let us believe in the God of possibilities. Let us bear the fruit of the Spirit in which love, joy, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control flourish. Just as God is the one who sows the seed, when we grow deeper, God's Spirit bears the fruit of the Spirit within us. It's not about us. It's not about how hard we try. It's all about our dependence on the sower. Let us continue to gather, grow, and love. Would you join me in this time of prayer? Almighty God, you are the generous and optimistic grower, sower. You cast the seed of your word into our hearts. We pray, O God, that you would let it grow inside each of us. Let us not be distracted by the worries and cares of this world. Let our hopes always be found in your promises of abundant life. God, help us to turn to you when the worries of our daily lives surround us. We ask for your wisdom and guidance as we sort through our struggles because we want to grow and bear fruit for your kingdom. Lord, we pray for those who are hungry physically and spiritually. We pray for those who are grieving, who are experiencing stress, who are feeling lonely. We lift up the uncertainty in our lives, the lives of those we love. Oh God, you know the joys and the burdens of our hearts before they ever cross our lips, and we thank you that you have searched us and known us. We give ourselves to you, and so we pray together the prayer which guides us at the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. And help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.